The reading is from 1 Peter chapter 3, starting to read at verse 13, and then it goes on to chapter 4, verses 7 to 11. And it can be found on page 1219 if you have a church Bible. Who is going to harm you if you are eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-controlled so that you can pray. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things, God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks, Elaine. We're carrying on tonight, as Stu mentioned a few moments ago, looking through the first letter that Peter wrote. Little unusual in that Peter just wrote... Wrong button. Peter wrote a general letter. The letters we're used to in the New Testament, mainly Paul's ones, are written to a particular church, particular group of people, for a particular reason: to correct them in something, encourage them, whatever. Peter wrote to the general group, scattered people, is the phrase he used at the very beginning. A leader, I guess the best known of all the disciples. Whenever you read about the disciples, it's usually Peter's name comes first. An outstanding man, and here writing a general letter just to explain what life with Jesus is all about. And that's why we're picking it up. And we're picking up tonight a particular subject that we've got for it is a normal Christian life. And that's a bit intimidating, because I thought, yeah, that's fine. And reading the passage, it's a great passage to preach from. And also at 6:30, where you aren't looking at the watch all the time, I won't be speaking all night, I promise. But when you actually look at the subject matters that are here listed, that Elaine's just read to us, and you think, yeah, all the normal Christian life. And then you say, now, Glyn, not very good at that one either. Immense challenge, which I hope you'll feel as we look at these verses tonight, in the way that I've felt as I prepared. And if you aren't going to make it for the whole of the evening, just take these two verses in mind, because it sums up, I think, all that Peter is on about in these particular words we're looking at tonight. Firstly, benefit others. Peter goes on and on. Most of all, love each other as if your life depended on it. We're going to look at the subject of what love means in a few moments. Love makes up for practically anything. Love makes up for practically anything, says Peter. Lesson number one. Lesson number two, your life with a clear conscience, keeping a clear conscience, says Peter, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. Living with a good conscience. Again, I say, isn't that wonderful? Tick that. Well, yeah, perhaps can't tick that box. Sometimes life isn't like that, is it? That's what it ought to be. The normal Christian life should be one that is benefiting others, says Peter, and we should be speaking with a clear conscience. Now, let's whistle through these different areas. The normal Christian life, suffering. I'm not going to whistle on this one too long, because if you look at the subject for next Sunday evening, I want to leave Simon a little bit to speak about. This is his subject. But it's here, and as we look at the normal Christian life, suffering, pain, is a crucial part of it. To turn our back and say we can talk about it, the normal Christian life, without talking about suffering. Who's going to harm you, says Peter, if you're eager to do good? But even if you should suffer for what is right, you're blessed. Do not fear their threats. Do not be frightened. Depression, fear, is part of our Christian life. If you look right through the New Testament, constantly, where there's references to people following Jesus, it's taking part in his sufferings as well. That word suffering comes in time and again. It's an essential part of a Christian life. What should we do? Well, I've just got two comments to make. Firstly, tell God. Tell God. I think there's a danger that we look to God for the big things. We pray about issues that we are concerned about, that we need. But where we have got pain, where we have got suffering, let's, well, shout at God, maybe. I've told the story of the nurse in Bangladesh some years ago, and I, just this last week, had a wonderful telephone conversation with a dear lady who I've known for a long time and has had a pretty rough time. Her husband died of an awful lung disease in his early 50s, and bless her, her little dog has been the big thing in her life for the last 10 years, I guess. Lovely Christian lady, but speaks her mind, as old Lynn. And she rang me to say the dog had died. And needless to say, I mean, she was hit very hard by that. And she said, I've told God exactly what I think about him. And I said, well, good for you. If you're annoyed, shout about it. I don't see any problem at all. As we chatted on, she said, you'll probably be in heaven before me. And I said, oh, thanks. Well, I didn't mean that, but you're quite a lot older now. And I said, yes, okay. She said, if there's a communication system in heaven and you hear who's at the pearly gates, if my name's mentioned, stay well away, because there's going to be a big row when I get there. I'm going to be there all right, but I've got a lot of things to tell God about, and it won't be easy. So I'm due to stay away from the pearly gates. But I say that because we ought to communicate with God. That is what prayer is all about, the good and the bad, the things we want and the things we give him thanks for. So when we are suffering, let's tell God. Let's tell God. The one thing that is clear in the Bible is that God doesn't protect us from suffering, but he sees us through it. We can be confident that we get through that period. But more about that next week. Move on to sharing. Sharing is the next thing that Peter talks about. And I, last week, met up with a couple of old pals of mine, and we only meet once a year now, and we meet at a cricket ground. And we just go there and chat for a few hours and catch up. I've learnt all about their kids and the problems they've got and the joys they've got. One of the daughters been in Singapore and had a great time, is now back. Another one's son's marriage has fallen apart and all sorts of problems. And we just share as we watch the game of cricket. We just take a few hours. We didn't see much cricket because it rained, but we were able to share. And Peter talks about this. In your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone asks you, to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And it's a big thing of mine. We're so good at sharing the news of our family, of our holidays, of our job. We love it. We love it. When it comes to our faith, there's a problem. Somehow we edge away from it, don't we? Most of us anyway. The normal Christian life, Peter is saying, be prepared to give an answer. When asked, not making a nuisance of yourself, but when asked, and I often think of the Rainbows, the team that work here, it's incredible. I don't know how many times people have been asked, team members have been asked by some of the folk there with their children, but you know, why do you do this? It must be a question that comes through fairly frequently. Why? Because at the end of it all, I've seen them sometimes, and they're pretty tired, and you may well be one of them, and no. But when the question comes, and it will come, if we're the sort of people who are living out the life that Christ wants of us, we're going to be asked the question. And Peter says, be prepared to give an answer. The normal Christian life, sharing everything. Not just our family news, our holiday news, our job news, our new car news, but our faith, our news about our faith, our belief in what Jesus has done and is doing. Then, dear old Peter moves on. The end is near. All things are coming to an end. Be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray. The end is near. Now, I find that one quite difficult because I can't within myself feel that the end is near. There, these folk, many of them would have seen Jesus. Many of them would have heard him say, I'm going, but I'm going to prepare a place for you and I'll be back. And they're waiting. The end is near. He'll be back any day now. Well, 2,000 years have passed and we've got lots of information in the Bible about what will happen before he comes back. I can't see as I look at the Bible that the end is near in terms of tomorrow. We've learned to live with that situation. But what Peter is saying is fascinating. He's saying, live as though it were coming to an end. We often say to children, would you want Jesus to come while you're doing that? Would you want Jesus to come while you're saying that? Would you want that to happen? I went to a conference this week on pornography, and the statistics are absolutely shattering. Absolutely shattering. 79% of men and 76% of women aged 18 to 30 years old watch porn at least once a month. 95% of self-identified born-again Christians have admitted to viewing porn, and so it goes on. Would we want Jesus to appear at certain moments in our life? The end is near, and Peter is saying, live up to it. I'm certainly conscious that before my mother died some years back now, when she came to visit me, my flat was in the best condition that it ever was. I really put work in. She still found things wrong, but nevertheless, I put work in because she was coming. We ought to live our lives as though Jesus is coming. Are we going to be ashamed of ourselves? Are we going to be ashamed of what we're saying or what we are doing? And Peter says, therefore be alert and sober mind so that you may pray. We mentioned prayer just a few moments ago. To pray, and again, I'm a great believer, as many will know, of the arrow prayer. Pray without ceasing, the Bible says. And I would guess I probably pray 10 times a day, of which 9 are just in the course of life. A quarter of an hour ago, Lord, I'm about to preach. Be with me. Give me the words. That sort of prayer. Afterwards to say, Lord, thank you. The arrow prayer, as I term it, as distinct from the sitting down, eyes closed, hands together. Be of sober mind so that you may pray, is Peter's instruction. Move on to the next one, a great love of mine. Just read those two verses, the one verse, but from two different versions. Love. Just read the two verses. The word love has been taken over by the tabloids. It only seems to mean sex in today's world. We even make love, and we're referring to a sexual relationship. Peter's talking about something way, way beyond that. A deep concern for others is one of the definitions that I've dug out for the welfare of others. And as so often happens, I look at the parent-child relationship, and you see there and you hear and read the most outstanding stories of what parents have done to protect their child. It happens in the animal kingdom as well. Absolutely outstanding love. People who've lost their lives in order to try and save a child's life, perhaps from drowning. That's what love's all about, a deep concern for the welfare of others. That's what Peter's talking about. Forgiveness. Again, love forgives. Love forgives. Parent and child again. Child may be driving somebody mad. Teenager may be in real trouble and police involved and all the rest of it. But there's a forgiveness. Jesus talks when Peter asked the question, well, do I forgive somebody 7 times? No, said Jesus, 70 times 7. Love involves forgiveness, total forgiveness. And the normal Christian life has got to be one of forgiveness. It was great this last week just to get reaffirmation from dear Cliff Richard that he'd forgiven the guy who made the accusations. He doesn't know who he is, but he's forgiven him for what he's done, even though it's put Cliff through 2 years of agony. He's got words to say about police and the BBC, but the person who actually made those false accusations, he said, I've forgiven. The normal Christian life involves forgiveness. Even though we've been badly treated, it involves forgiveness. And Paul says, on top of everything, put on love, which ties everything together. Ties everything together, says Paul, and makes it complete. That's the Tom Wright version from Colossians 3:14. The normal Christian life, love. Oh, and we're on to another of my favourite ones now. The normal Christian life, hospitality. Hospitality. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, says Peter. The reason that he says that is that in their days, the itinerant preacher would appear on his donkey and would be with you for a week, a month, 3 months. Wouldn't zoom in the car or fly on the aeroplane for a preaching appointment or a week's evangelistic mission and fly off again. They'd arrive, and it was taken for granted that you would give them hospitality. And there were occasions where I think people thought the preacher was not quite what they were expecting, and the preacher didn't seem to be showing any indication of going. And so says Peter, look, it may be like that, but offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Oh, without grumbling. You're having a good old moan and you think you've been put on, but without moaning. Hospitality means welcoming. I again was talking with a friend of mine about 2 weeks ago, and he's only been to our church once. And he said, Lynn, I always remember walking into your church. It was the 10:30 service. And he said, just walking in, I felt welcome. And I thought, praise God. That, to me, is what hospitality is all about. It's welcoming. We want people. We want to be with people. And we want to help people. The normal Christian life. I read, I think it was only yesterday, and I can't even remember where I read it, a wonderful story of a lady who saw a girl, teenage girl with a baby, begging on the street, chatted to her, took her into a cafe, gave her some food, chatted, and out came the story of terrible problems at home, being thrown out, and didn't know what she was going to do. And this lady said, well, I'll ring your mother. And so she got mother's telephone number, and with the girl and her little baby sitting opposite her at the table, rang the mother. And in no time at all, the girl and the mother were in tears. She was the middle person, and she took the girl to the railway station, bought a ticket, and the girl went off home. And now, 4 or 5 years later, she gets a wonderful Christmas card every year from this girl who's reunited with the family. That to me is love. That to me is hospitality. We're not good at it. It's hard going, isn't it? I read that story and think, well, yes, but it's a yes, but. Hospitality, and finally, and again, I'm on wonderful ground here. I love these topics. The normal Christian life, gifts. Peter says in chapter 4, verse 10, and again, that Tom Wright, who used to be the Bishop of Durham, and decided that he was better equipped to be an academic than a bishop with all the administrative jobs, and is now at St. Andrew's University, and is just a wonderful academic, and he's written the New Testament. And he's great to read. Just as each of you has received a gift, each of you has received a gift, note, each of you. So you should use it for ministry one to another as good stewards of God's many-sided grace. The normal Christian life, we have gifts. We all have a gift. And it's an ambition of mine, and if I really get round to it, which I should do, at this point, if we had time, to make sure everyone had a pencil and paper and say, look, for 5 minutes, write down on that piece of paper what gift you have. And don't come back and say, oh, it's all right for you. You've got a gift. You stand at the front and spout away. People tend to think that it's vicars and preachers have got gift. Well, yes, but what gift have you got? We've talked about hospitality. We've talked about love and so on. Write down the bit of paper what your gift is. And while you're at it, I would ask you also to write down what you can give thanks for that God has given to you in this last week. But we won't do it tonight. Whether we ever will, I don't know. But what Peter says here is you are stewards. You are stewards of the gift that God has given to you. And the message talks about passing on that gift. We have a gift. And that gift is to be used for the benefit of the family. That's what you've got it for. That's what you've got it for. The normal Christian life involves using the gift which every one of us has. No use opting out and saying it's for vicars and preachers. Every one of us has. If anyone speaks, and we do come on to the speaking bit as I finish tonight, if anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. And that's the role of the preacher. Stu, Simon, myself, I spend time just praying in this last week. A bit frightening, but I actually picture faces. So the faces of many of you will have been in my mind as I've prayed in this last week. Lord, if I'm going to speak, may these words be your words. May they be words that are going to impact. I mean, I can speak and may well finish up everyone with a round of applause saying, wasn't it wonderful? But unless they are God's words, unless the gift that God has given is being used, then it's of no value. Words that are useful in building people up. Paul comes up with the same thought. Don't let any unwholesome words escape your lips. Instead, say whatever is good and useful in building people up. The normal Christian life, if we're offering love and hospitality, the words we speak should be words that are geared to build people up and not knock people down. We can be very good with our unnecessary criticism. Sometimes it's appropriate, but many times it may not be. Words that build people up, the normal Christian life, the gift we have. And if we serve, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised. Serving people from the overflow, I've written in my notes. Serve, preaching, teaching, living. That people may see Jesus in us. Paul again, my final slide, the normal Christian life. One final word, friends, we ask you, urge is more like it, that you keep on doing what we told you to do, to please God, not in a dogged religious plod, but in a living, spirited dance. The normal Christian life. Keep on doing what we told you to do to please God, not in a dogged religious plod, stuck in the religious cocoon so that nobody ever really sees or hears, but in a living, spirited dance, one that includes others. The normal Christian life. Well, you probably feel semi-embarrassed as I do. It's great to talk about what we ought to do. It's a pity we don't. But there's the challenge that Peter is giving to us tonight, and it'd be great if we as individuals can perhaps pick up one of those things and say, yes, I really could do more. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for Peter. Thank you for his leadership. Thank you for his skill in putting together these words that we've looked at tonight. Lord, we're conscious that he lived up to these words in many areas, far from perfect. He let you down, but what a man of God he was. And we ask tonight that we may be those who aren't stuck in a religious plod, but we're in a living, spirited dance in our life for you. Lord, help us in this, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.